All right, everybody, good Saturday morning, and welcome to another episode, exciting episode, of the KMOX Home Improvement Show, where we're tackling all your burning questions about making your house your home. I'm your host, Rich Orris, and I'm here to guide you through a maze of home improvement challenges. Let's see what you have going on today. Is it the best paint colors for your living room? Maybe how to fix that leaky faucet, water heater, maybe something electrical. You could be embarking on a full-scale renovation project that you've just uncovered something and need a little help. Well, remember, this show is all for you, all about you. So pick up that phone and give us a call. 314-436-7900 is how you're going to find me and get to me today. Get your questions answered live on the air today. We can turn your house into your dream home together right here. And I love this opportunity that I have to get with the listeners, answer some questions, and really hopefully make a difference in your life, in your home. But remember, again, without you, without your questions, without your conversations, that is what makes this show so great. Maybe some maintenance challenges, whatever you have, don't hesitate to call. Again, 314-436-7900. And some of you, if you're a little newer, if you haven't been around a lot or don't know, you might be thinking, well, you know, who is this guy and what's he doing and why does he do this? Well, you know, so I am a senior sales consultant for Mosby Building Arts. And of course, my predecessor from this home improvement show, Scott Mosby, the owner, head cook, and bottle washer of that company. I've been with him for 23 years now. I'm just about to have, I think in a few days, like this week, maybe, my 23rd anniversary with the company. So been there a long time, doing a lot, learned a lot, started out in the field, started out project managing, running jobs, supervising, really helping. And Scott's whole ambition early on was really not just for us to come in and do work and do what they say or make things happen, but to really help and be a part of the whole process and see if we can make this different, better for our clients, for the whole industry as a whole. So that's kind of why we do a lot of the different things we do at Mosby Building Arts, but another reason why Scott Mosby had done this for years and years, 27, 28, 29 years, something like that, and now I'm coming over from doing a show on 97.1 for about 10 years and now into this and also simulcasting that next hour onto 97.1 still. We still get to grasp the whole audience, all the people that know and love us, and, you know, been through a lot of training, been through a lot of learning since coming to Mosby Building Arts, too. It was, in fact, the first place that I started working that really kind of stopped and sat down and said, how can we better you? How can we better our systems? How can we make this whole thing work better for the projects, for the quality, for the lasting value, and for the clients? How can we make sure we get it right? How can we do things better, different? So I've been through a lot of training ever since then, starting out even in the first year or so of being here, learning a lot about the project management, learning a lot about houses, getting five-star certifications in roofing, siding, and moisture, going through some training at the Building Performance Institute. So going through that whole training on how to do evaluations of homes, how to test homes, the blower door testing they've been doing over years, and really looking at the homes scientifically, it's still a lot of listen, learn, figure, kind of do task and see where you're going type of stuff with the houses. But it definitely gives us a higher knowledge of trying to break things down and understand and kind of the process of elimination. Let's figure out what could happen, how it could happen, what causes what that could, might lead you to something. So very good at kind of trying to assess issues, figure out problems with homes, but again, also how to renovate them, inside and out the best way properly. So I've also been trained in universal design from NARI. I've been trained in LSWP, the Lead Safe Work Safe Practices. I'm a certified renovator there and a master shingle applicator from GAF Roofing. So a lot of different things that have happened and learned. And this has all been kind of spread out over the course of that past 23 years. So having a good time, enjoying it, love being able to help with renovations, remodeling issues, love trying to kind of find things up front, figure out what could happen, may happen, and then really planning what's going to happen and getting through that in the best way possible for everybody is basically what I do every day at Mosby Building Arts. So I love to bring that to this forum and get it in here and kind of say, all right, what do we have going on? How can we help? What's your thoughts? What's your questions? And a lot of them can just be about the industry in general or how things are done or not. So again, remember, you can find me right here. We've got a full 2 hours for you today. 314-436-7900 is where you're going to find me. So I think we're going to jump into our first break here real quick. We got a caller on the line, but I'm kind of at a deadline here. So if you could hang on real quick through this break, don't go nowhere. Don't touch that dial. We'll have more to come after this. All right, here we go. And hey, now that in the last segment you learned a little more about me, hopefully maybe there were some people around that haven't been around as long, as often, as much, maybe the first time listener. So that's perfect. You know more about me. You can reach me at 314-436-7900. Now let's learn about Junior and see what is going on. I appreciate you holding on through the break. Are you there? Can you hear me, Junior? Uh-oh. I'm not picking up anything at all. Must have a little technical difficulties going on. Let me know if you can hear me, Junior.
I think he can.
All right. I'm not picking up anything from your end, buddy. Let's move on for now and see if I'll let them see if they can get him patched in and see if I can get some sound to him here and just keep trying there, Junior, and we'll kind of move on with some things that we're planning on going over and everything, and we'll see if we can get him in here. So questions like that are great. We get a lot of great different questions. We get a lot of common questions all the time, too. I get them during the week as I work. I get them every Saturday on the show, and last weekend, we did have some really good conversations. We spoke a lot about smoke detectors and fire safety, and it was chimney safety week, and then we had fire safety week the week before. So we went over a lot of that stuff, and Sue had called in and kind of talked about having a couple hardwired smoke detectors in her house, and we kind of explained and went through what some of the newest codes are and how many you should have and where they should be. Every home is different. Depends on the amount of bedrooms and where the bedrooms are located as to how many you'll need and how they talk to one another. Sometimes that can add. We went over a little bit how that can even add to how many that you need, which could even sometimes put you beyond what the municipality is saying that's absolutely required, but it's what required to make the system work the way that the municipality wants with the size of your home. So interesting stuff. We had one of my favorites, Betty, called in and kind of talked about while you test those smoke detectors. And again, we spoke about They recommend you test those smoke detectors, push that test button once a month. And a lot of people don't do that. I'm certainly not on any type of strict schedule like that. I test them, but yes, it is hard to do that once a month. So maybe make a schedule, make a calendar to make sure that you are doing that, because it is crucial that they work. But Betty was basically telling us, when you do that, train your dog or your pets to go to an exterior door when they hear that sound. So that way, maybe you can help get them out of the house and they'll be where they need to be able to be rescued. So that is definitely a reassuring thing that I would recommend. And Tom called in. He had some kind of crazy electrical issues with a outlet making a fan spin when the fan was not on. And we talked about how there is power there. So if you're plugged in, probably some type of surge kind of happening in that system, pushing a little more power to that fan's on-off switch. And if that on-off switch isn't working properly, or some of that power touches, gets through, maybe it jumps, sparks, arcs, whatever, it could just trigger a little bit of power to make that just slightly start kind of moving. And that was kind of interesting. So we talked about ways to look into that and to try it with newer, different fan to see if you get the same thing, because it could just be something simple within the actual unit itself. And Sharon also had some electrical issues she was calling in about with an outlet with some lights and a light flickering, and talked about ways to change that, look at that. Definitely recommended with her what she had going on, getting with an actual a licensed electrician and looking into some of that, because remember that, yes, electrical is a big deal. You really only want to be brave and do things that are really simple. And once you get deep into it, if the minute you're outside your means, I definitely recommend that is nothing that you want to go wrong or you want to mess with and have issues. Plumbing kind of the same way. One could burn your house down, one could flood your house. So making sure you know, understand, do a lot of research. And like myself, I am not a licensed electrician. I'm not a licensed plumber. I was just telling a client yesterday, I'm not a structural engineer, but I have a lot of things that I've seen, a lot of good ideas, and a lot of things I've been a part of in projects and jobs I've been a part of to understand more and know. But knowing when to call that electrician or that plumber or that structural engineer, I know just enough to go, okay, it's time we get a structural engineer in here and really start looking at this and figuring this out. And this particular client really has some, it's an interesting situation. A lot of minor things that don't really point you in one easy direction. There are things with the home that you can look at and kind of go, when I see this, when I see that, when I see that going on, it tells a story. And when everything's so slight and barely there, then we're just kind of like, oh, well, hang on. And so we get the right people involved. And even with the licensed structural engineers, we've had differencing of opinion on what could possibly be going on with this house from different foundation companies looking at it, a couple structural engineers looking at it. And he's just like, oh, gosh, it's just such a out there situation with minor signs of things that lead you slightly in a direction, but then other signs that go, but then why wouldn't this be occurring, or why wouldn't you see something here? So it can be difficult. And just know when to get those right people in and get the people that have been fully educated and really, you know, it's what they do in on that to really, really help you understand and know and figure out what is going on. Because we're all human. None of us are perfect by any means. We look at the signs. We look at what's going on. We put that against things that we've seen and we've learned, and certain circumstances, and then we kind of take that information and just very similar to a doctor, make a diagnosis, and this is what I see, and this is what I think can do it and help it and really get things going for you. So hopefully we can help people out, and don't forget again, you can find me here, 314-436-7900. Do we think we got Junior figured out here? Are you there, Junior? Can you hear me? I still got no sound. Yeah, I completely don't hear anything. Having a little headphone technical difficulties here. Not sure what's happening. Apologize, Junior. Wish I could hear what you were asking. Love to help you out. We'll keep working on our end and see what can happen. See if we can get through anything with that. For now, I think we'll just we'll go ahead and get to our middle hour break, and maybe we can have Junior ready to go when we come back and we get that working for everybody else. 314-436-7900 is where you're going to get to me today. So can't wait to talk to y'all. We'll get it figured out. We'll take a break right now. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. We'll have more to come. All right, guys. Welcome back. Welcome back. A lot going on today. Having a little technical difficulties with the phones, but I've got plenty of stuff while we work on that to kind of cover with you, go over with you for you. I love to talk about what I do during the week, too, and just kind of because that covers a lot of information that I think a lot of people want to know and covers a lot of common questions when I'm out visiting and talking about different types of projects, different things people want done, different issues that they're having around their house. So I go over a lot of that every day, all week long, just like I do right here on Saturdays. And so in the past week or so, I have had some really good kind of meetings and conversations in the past couple weeks. And I did have one that was about a basement, the typical kind of partially finished basement, already has a bathroom, but they want to kind of go through and add a bedroom, add a walk-in closet. And as we're looking at it, I'm looking around and looking for things to really think more at this point about how can I build this? How feasible is it? Are there ideas even feasible, going to work out and possible? They also would like to have a laundry room down in the basement, like a bigger laundry room. It has a sink and a dog bath. And we kind of spoke about some of the things that have to happen to make all of that kind of their dreams come true. And looking at where they were hoping to have the bedroom, of course, we started into two conversations there. One being egress. How do you get out of the house in the event of an emergency, a fire, anything going on in that egress needing to be inside of that bedroom? So you have to put that bedroom at a spot where you can cut through the foundation wall and get either an egress door with stairs and a window with the window well with a climbing ladder, some sort of way. And there's a lot of rules and stipulations. And also where they wanted to put this bedroom, they also had the panel box, the breaker box in that area. And in most areas, it is against code to have that breaker box, that panel box. They don't want to have an electrician need to go through a bedroom to access that panel box. It cannot be in a kitchen. It cannot be in a bathroom. It cannot be in a bedroom. It has to be in a main kind of living, entertaining area, if you say. So they also had that. So I'm kind of like, well, this is a great idea, but we've got this panel box in the way. So we look at either relocating it or we look at relocating different things, different ideas for what happens and how we do this. So there's a lot of things. And when you look at like this laundry room, now we're at a plumbing vent. And this can be kind of hard to explain and understand because I got to probably, it's called a plumbing vent, but it is a vent of air for your plumbing pipes. It goes up, it exits the house through the roof, and every drained area needs a vent, and it needs a vent so close to it. So sometimes you have a really big bathroom, you'll have multiple vents that go up in it. Basically, the reason for it is as water's flushing and draining through a plumbing pipe, it's pushing air forward, and it needs to replace that air. It's moving the air, so it needs to get air from somewhere in order to work properly and not possibly have issues down the road. So we're in the basement. It's a two-story house. We have to figure out if I'm going to add a sink and a dog bath and laundry drain in that area, I got to figure out how can I find a vent that goes up out through the roof undisturbed. And so sometimes we're actually putting that through walls on the first floor, the second floor, to get that where we need to be. So there's a lot that goes into how those things happen. And I had another one that we were looking at with the means of egress. And this particular client in their basement, they wanted to create a second staircase so that when the mother comes home, she's going to live in the basement. When she comes home, she can come in through the garage, hit a little hallway, have a door to the right, take a set of stairs. She can go right down to the basement without disturbing the main house. And there'd be another door that takes you into the dining room, kitchen area, everything where you usually walk in from the garage, so they can have that separation. So we thought, I thought immediately, I'm like, well, boy, that could probably be a really good means of egress. And that could handle that egress problem. We put those stairs where it's in the bedroom where she lands. Then we've got an easy way out. Well, again, that doesn't meet code because that doesn't leave the house and it doesn't lead you to the exterior. So you got to read these codes. You got to really know and understand what they are, what's happening, and they're up to interpretation of how they're worded and everything else. So sometimes they can be a little different than we think, and some things could work that we didn't realize at first could work. But this one, because the stairs end up in a living space upstairs, even if it were the garage, wouldn't matter. It's still not outside the house. So doesn't create a new means of what they would consider egress for a sleeping area bedroom. So that was kind of disappointing because now imagine this scenario. Your basement's finished. You have a door that it is a walkout, so you have this big 8-foot-wide sliding door, lets a lot of light in. It's a great thing. It leads you to the outside. You have a set of stairs that goes to the first floor of the main part of the house. You have another set of stairs that we build that now gets you up right by the garage. And if your bedroom isn't where that big glass door is, you still need to add another means of egress from the inside of that bedroom. So now we're talking another door or a window well with egress that you can climb out of from a bedroom somewhere else, which is, so you've got a safe basement because literally you are down there. You've got four ways out, but only one of them is considered the egress that works per code for that bedroom sleeping quarters. So it gets pretty, pretty complicated. Another common thing that I get all the time and talk about a lot, and sometimes I'm telling people all the time, like we're talking more about these things than we're actually doing them because of the expense that ends up evolving with what we're kind of asking about and talking about. But I have conversations all the time about garages, making garages bigger, and or doing a detached garage, but they want some living space on top of that garage, a little hangout area, something for the teenage kids, maybe an office for dad because he works at home a lot more. So then they kind of start to say, well, and if it's possible, I don't know what it'd cost, but if we could get plumbing to it and have a bathroom, maybe even a half bath or whatever works, whatever we can figure out, whatever might hit our budget, maybe we can get some plumbing in there so they don't have to leave a detached garage living space to get, you know, to the house for a bathroom or whatnot. And it is, if you're building a detached garage, it is the cheapest time to add more space to that to get a little living space out of it. But that living space, you know, a couple things to consider. It still does turn into, it is a room addition. And it does have everything that a living space has, so it can be less expensive because of things that you pick and because of keeping it simple, like carpet and just simple white box, kind of nothing extravagant. So you can get a less expensive living space. But again, then you're adding on to the price of this detached garage for some living space. Now you're thinking, okay, let's add a bathroom. Well, let's think about what it takes to get all those utilities to a structure. Now, we're going to need electrical, so we have to get some power to that structure. But when we trench and we get underground power to a detached garage, we're trenching down a couple feet. It's like 30 inches, something like that. So it's a chore. It's not easy to do, but think about your water now. You got to get lower if you want water to keep it below where everything's going to freeze. And now think about your sewer. Well, where's your sewer line at? Well, it's going to be 8, 10, 12 feet deep where we find that sewer. So now we're digging down. And if you even think about replacing a sewer lateral, when happens a lot in the city where the pipes go bad, they've been there a long time, they're clay, so they got to dig these sewer laterals out from the back of the house to the alley. They replace them with a bigger PVC, good pipe and everything. Well, that can cost up to $8,000, $10,000, $12,000 to do. Even just doing a quick Google search, one Google search said $1,500 to $10,000 for a sewer lateral. Another one, there was a Forbes article that said like $1,300 to $25,000, depending on the depth, the length. That so when you get into this detached garage and now you want sewer, water, and electrical, it can get very costly digging through the yard, getting to the laterals, running a new sewer lateral over to this new area, this new structure. So just to get the utilities you need there can be quite costly. So it's surprising. And a lot of detached garage that we build started out with, can we do living space above? And then they end up with a detached garage and they get rid of all that. And that's good because we can show all these different options and help guide you through with estimating and everything to kind of go, okay, here's where we're at, here's where we're going. So kind of different and unlike just a licensed architect coming in, writing down what you want, drawing you this whole 2 or 3 car garage, living space above, bathroom over here. Then you start, you've paid this architect to do these plans and do all this work. Then you start to find out what it costs. Then you start to learn, wow, that's way above my budget. I don't see the value in doing all that anymore. And then you start downscaling. Then you need new drawings. You end up a 3-car garage with living space and a bathroom. Ends up to be a 2-car detached garage so that it's in your budget. And you've gone through all this work and time and hassle to figure all that out, and expense. It can be very expensive. So the way we kind of do that stuff up front, conceptually, to kind of walk you through it, show you those differences, have our in-house estimators estimate, figure these projects out, and really go, okay, here's where you're at. Here's where you're at, with some dollar signs to that, so you can pick and choose and understand very early on with a lot less expense up front to go, yeah, this is more what's going to work for me. Now we'll focus our energies with the selections, with getting all the trades and all the people and all the right staff involved on the project that you end up at, rather than doing all that up front and then working our way backwards to get where you're going to be. We can save some of that expense, go through all that, get you a good plan, and then start focusing on that. So when we do go to do our drawings, our stamp plans, turn in for permitting, we know what everything is. We've been through it. It's been selected. The whole project is purchased. And then you know, here I am. I love this. Let's do this. And then we can focus all our efforts on that project. That is going to actually what you're going to do and what's going to work for you and what fits within your budget and all of that. So it's just a easier that really kind of takes it in stages and helps you through it a little bit easier and gets you some goals with your investment levels and everything as you go very early on, so you do know and do understand what's happening for you. So we can help you through that like we do a lot of people out there. So, hey, I'm going to get into my final break here, and we will have more for you when we come back. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. More to come on the Home Improvement Show. All right, guys, we are back. And, hey, guess what? I think we've got our technical difficulties settled. Let's find out here. We've got Elias on the line. Elias, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Awesome.
I have a question.
I can hear you too. Go ahead.
Great. We have urinals in my church and slow drainage when you flush. Do you have any idea what kind of solution I put to open the, you know, the drainage there? I mean, the church built back in 1950s. I don't know about the pipes, if it's lead or not.
Yeah, so in the 50s, you probably have lead drain lines that go to a cast iron stack, which is fine. I mean, it's been there a long time, and they do get gunked up and kind of clogged up and everything. So you can try to just run any kind of drain unclogging solution, like you'd pour into your sink. You could try that and see if it helps at all. Otherwise, I think you're definitely looking at either possibly just having them cleaned out and snaked out by a professional company, and or if they're damaged enough where that can't work, maybe some plumbing pipe replacement. But you can start with just a regular old kind of Drano type. See if that kind of eats away at some of the clog and loosens it up and makes it any better. On a urinal, you're not going to get a whole lot of water flushing through like you will on a sink, where you can pour it down there, let it sit, and you can run a lot of water. So it might take a while to see if those drain cleaners start to work. It might take a few tries and maybe a couple weeks of pouring some of that in there little bit every day until you finally maybe get enough eaten away and make it start working.
Yeah. Somebody said, well, you put some vinegar. I said, no, it's acidity. You know, I'm worried about the pipe. You see what I mean? As you said, it is lead. So I don't want to cause any damage, you know. So
well, and right. All those drain, you know, all those drain cleaners, all that stuff's going to have chemicals in there that definitely could possibly, you know, eat away at those pipes. And if they're mm-hmm. old and thin, then yeah. it any of them could end up with some kind of problem. And you could be so close to the age to the brink of an issue with lead drain arms going to a cast iron stack that anything you do could lead you into that repair. But if you're close enough to need that repair, the drain cleaner, it's just going to, you'll end up with the repair either way. Or maybe it'll work. Or maybe it works and it gets them functioning a little bit better. And then, and if it does, then I would consider a maintenance schedule of like pouring a cup of that in each one once a month or something for a while to try and then keep them clean and keep them from stacking up and all that.
With time to come. We took the strainer out, and as you said, we snake it, you see, but we reached a point the snake does not go all the way, and it's improved, but not not too much, you see, so, right?
Yep, because you've got a what they call a P-trap, kind of like a J-bend back there, and your strainer poking in there won't get past that very well. Mm-hmm. So, yep.
Yes. So don't use vinegar, in other words.
I don't know that. I don't think vinegar is going to hurt those lines any more, any less than like Drano or any of those that you can buy in the hardware store. They're all going to be trying to eat away and have some kind of chemicals in them that eat stuff away. So I wouldn't be worried about the vinegar.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay, we can do that. Thank you very much for your time and advice.
Absolutely. Yeah. No problem. Very, very welcome. Glad we got the phones working. And for everybody else out there, and for Junior, if you're still out there in the next hour, we're getting ready to take our break here. But we can get things going for you now. So you can get a hold of me. You can find me 314-436-7900. Junior, if you're out there, get back with us in the next hour. We'd love to answer your question, love to help you out. And for everybody else, there's plenty that we can do. There's plenty that we can talk about. I've got plenty more topics in line that I do like to touch on and wouldn't mind talking about. But again, remember, this is about you guys, and this is about your maintenance issues, your conundrums, your things going on, your honey-do list, and trying to help out and help you. So we're going to get into our break, but get with us next hour. We'll be right back.